moved for that. But. All right. We are starting Perek Yud Zion today, chapter 17. This is a long chapter with a lot of moving pieces. You're in the right place. You're absolutely in the right place. We've just moved. Only for today. I know, it's a little bit hard to get your head around being in a different physical location, but it was either this or... Perek Yud Zayin. Vayasvu plishtim et machanehem lemelchama.
Which verse are we on?
Beginning of chapter 17. Perek Yud Zayin. Vayasvu plishtim et machanehem lemelchama. Vayasvu socho asher liyuda. Vayachanu ben socho ben azeka ve'efes damim. There's a lot of places mentioned in this verse. The Plishtim gathered their army, gathered together, Yehuda gathered together in Socho. They gathered in Socho Ashel Yehuda, and they encamped between Socho and Azeka, in the valley referred to as Ephes Dami. V'Shaul ish v'ish Yisrael ne'asu v'yachnu be'emek ha'elah. Shaul and the camp of Israel gathered together in Emek Ha'elah, v'yarchu milchama likrat plishtim, and their war began with the plishtim. Plishtim umdim al ahar mizeh, v'Yisrael umdim al ahar mizeh, v'agai b'nehem. The plishtim on one mountain, Yisrael on the other mountain, with a valley between them. I'm going to actually just sit. Until I need the computer, we should be good. All right. Can everybody see? Just easier to sit. Uflishtim omdim al ahar mizev, Yisrael omdim al ahar mizev, agai b'nehem. V'yetze ish habenayim mimachanot plishtim. What's an ish habenayim? So there's a great deal of discussion as to what the phrase means. In modern Hebrew, we would say a go-between. Some suggest it means somebody from mibenehem, from amongst them. Others suggest it means a kind of a representative. It's not clear, but it was somebody emerged from the Plishtim camp. Goliath shmo migat. Goliath from the city of Gat. Gavho shesh amot vazaret. Height 6 amot and 1 span.
Is that higher than sukkah?
No.
How high is the sukkah, the maximum?
20 amot. Okay. And it's not clear that the amot that we're talking about is the same. It's not clear that the amot that we're talking about is the same as the amot. I've heard it go anywhere from 7.5 to 10 feet to 12 feet, although I think 12 feet is a little bit much, but probably close to 7.5, 8, 9 feet. Sorry, we're over here today. Yes. It's going to kind of be a little bit... V'kov v'nachoshet arosho, a hat. You know, kova is an interesting word. Kova, spelled with a kaf. Some places it's spelled with a kuf. A migba'at is a hat for a kohen, like the migba'at. All comes from the same root. Some sort of a covering. Helmet made out of brass. Vishiryon kaskasim ulavush, an armor made of kaskasim. Now kaskasim is a powerful word. By the laws of kashrut, a fish is supposed to have fins scales. And kaskasim, or kaskeset, which are scales. So a scaled armor. We've all seen pictures of scaled armor.
Like mail.
Right. Mail. Umishkal hashiryon 5,000 shkalim nechoshet. It weighed 5,000 shkalim of iron. Or copper.
Brass.
Yeah, that would work better.
And this is
umitzchat.
It sounds heavy.
Right. Umitzchat nechoshet avaglav, a armor on his feet as well. V'kidon nechoshet ben ktefav, the spear. V'chetz, or v'etz chanito, I think it's chetz chanito, kimnor orgim, v'lehevet chanito 600 shkalim barzel, spear, sword, armor, shield, all of these things big and heavy. They're so big and heavy, he doesn't have enough hands. So the armor, the shield bearer has to go in front of him. So he's got him, and then he's got a shield bearer in front of him. I wouldn't want to be the shield bearer. V'yamod v'yikra el marachot Yisrael v'yomar lahem lama tetzu laroch mechama. Comes and he stood out there in front of the army of Israel, and he says to them, what do you need the war for? Lama tetzu laroch mechama. Hello, Anochi Plishti. I, the Plishti, v'atem avadim l'shaul, and you are slaves to Shaul. Bru lachem ish v'yered elai. Pick your champion, and let him come and fight me. Im yuchal li lachem iti v'ikani v'yinu lachem l'avadim. If he is able to smite me and conquer me and destroy me, then we will be your slaves. V'im ani uchal lo v'ikitiv, and if I kill him, v'yitem lanu l'avadim, v'avadetem otanu, then you will be our slaves, and you will serve us. V'yomer ha-plishti, ani cherafti et marachot Yisrael ha-yom hazeh. I curse the army of Israel today. T'nuli ish, I belittle you. You're nothing in my eyes. Give me somebody. Somebody of significance, somebody who can meet me face to face. V'nilachama yachad. And we will fight. V'yishma Shaul v'chol Yisrael, divrei ha-plishti ha-ela. Shaul and Israel heard the words of this plishti. V'yechatu v'yu'umot. They were trembling and afraid. And for now, that's all we're going to do. The rest of the story is a shift in gears. We're going to see David, and we see Shaul, and we see the army, and we see David and his brothers. We're going to have all familiar characters. But for today, we want to spend some time talking about Goliath HaPlishti and the battle between Israel and the Plishtim. Now, this is not the first battle between Israel and the Plishtim. It's, in fact, the third or fourth time we have engaged the battle between Israel and the Plishtim. If you remember our trusted map, we've had this map a few times already. That's the old one. Yeah.
Is this a flashback?
No.
So this happens after?
After what?
After David is anointed.
Well, that's difficult questions.
Say that again.
I said, you ask difficult questions. I'm not going to answer that question today. I'm going to take it for granted that we're going to read chapters in sequence until we decide not to. Does that make sense?
Eventually
we will find out. Eventually we will have to look at that. Now, why am I stuck here? Correct. The next few sentences they're going to introduce David. That's why I stopped where I stopped. Because that's a subject
okay.
Into itself.
Right. I read ahead.
And a complicated one. what happened here? Here we go. We can get rid of... No, I don't need that yet. One second. We can get rid of the cartoon. Let's go back to serious then. Alright. So we have a... This is not the first battle that we have had with the Plishtim. We've seen the Plishtim so far three times. Where were the other major battles with the Plishtim? Anybody remembers?
That battle with Shaul in the beginning.
Right. So the very first is with Shaul and with Shmuel. The very first is the battle for the fall of Shiloh. And that battle takes place here in Shiloh, where the Mishkan was. And eventually, a place called Eben Ezer, which is here on the coast. But the Plishtim, when Eben Ezer falls, the Plishtim reach all the way into Shiloh and destroy Shiloh. So that battle is here in the north. The next battle that we saw with the Plishtim was... That was chapter 4 and 5. The next battle that we saw with the Plishtim was... This is a test. This is a big review.
Thank
you. Going back to
Samson? I wasn't here.
No. I'm not. Staying in Sefer Shmuel. The next battle was the battle of Michmas with the story of Yonatan and the honey in the forest. So that took place at Michmas, which is sort of the southern slopes of Beit El. And now we are in the valley of Emek Ha'Elah, in between Socha and Azeka, which is over here.
Is that near Modi'in today?
It's near Beit Shemesh. Emek Ha'Elah is near Beit Shemesh. Now, we'll see on a map exactly. That's why I have all this funny show and tell stuff here, because I want to show this all to you on a map. Can we identify a pattern here in terms of the battle fields?
Okay.
Right, we're moving south. If you look at the straight line from Shiloh to Beit El to Azeka, the battle front is moving south. Why? Because this is Eretz Plishtim down here, which means that over the course of the years, the front in which the battle between Israel and the Plishtim has taken place has shifted back towards the southern flank where the Plishtim live, which is what I would expect it to be. The fact, and we talked about this at the time, the fact that this battle here, Eben Ezer to Shiloh, is happening, first of all, in the middle of the mountain. This is all the mountain range. And this is the center of Israel's settlement. This is the core of the center of the country. That's why the Mishkan was here. The fact that the Mishkan fell and that the Plishtim had reached all the way to Shiloh was an existential threat to the settlement of Israel. It virtually cut Israel in half. That battle, Shmuel's counteroffensive, pushes the Plishtim back and retakes all the cities, as it says in the end of chapter 5, retakes all the cities that the Plishtim had taken from Israel. They almost lost Israel to the Plishtim at that time. They certainly lost the Mishkan. It was the equivalent of a Churban, the Tisha B'Av equivalent in terms of magnitude. And that's where Sefer Shmuel opens. The next major offensive is in chapter 13 and 14 of Shmuel, and that's the Battle of Michmas. That's the battle, that's Nimodin, that's the battle, come a little closer, that's the battle where Yonatan ate of the honey in the forest, in the middle of the battle, and that's taking place here, again, in the mountain, in the Israelite territory, but not quite far as north as Shiloh. And now we reach a battle between the forces of Israel and the forces of the Plishtim near Azeka, which is just at the end, the boundary between Eretz Plishtim and Eretz Yehuda. Beit Lechem is here. David and Beit Lechem is here. We'll see in a moment that Socho is somewhere around here. I'll show you on a map exactly the relationship between Socho. Actually, you have this map right here if you want to pull it out and pass it around. Can sort of see a kind of close-up of where all of this is. The other distinction to recognize in the sequence of these battles, and this is also significant, is not just where they're taking place. Right, we have to look at the Plishtim. The conflict with the Plishtim is kind of an overarching shadow or cloud over the whole Sefer of Shoftim. And the relationship with the Plishtim goes through a dynamic of various different times. Right? David is going to hide out amongst the Plishtim. There's a whole relationship that's complex. But the wars with the Plishtim that we've so far identified from the beginning of the Sefer, Perek Dalet, the middle so far, Perek Gimel and Yudalet, and now here in Perek Zayin, the wars have taken place not only in different places, but also in very different styles and different kinds of battles, different complexities of the army. So, and again, if you trace the sequence, you can kind of see a progression between them. What is the state of the army between of the Plishtim versus Israel in each of these battles? And so certainly in the case of Perek Dalet, when Shiloh falls, we are overwhelmed by the Plishtim. They come in, they conquer. It's one of the most devastating victories of the Plishtim over Israel until Shmuel's counteroffensive, but we really stood to lose the whole nine yards, right, the whole game. And we certainly lost the Mishkan. But when we get to the Battle of Michmas, which we spent some time looking at, it was in Perek Gimel and Yadalit, if you remember, how did that battle begin? It was a description of the forces of the Plishtim and the forces of Israel. Whereas the forces of the Plishtim were gathered with great numbers and great power, and the force of Israel, there was a large army, but
much smaller.
Okay, but much smaller. The army was dissipating. Remember, Shaul was supposed to wait at that point for Shmuel. Shmuel never came. That was the battle in which he waited 7 days, and the seventh day came at the 11th hour of the seventh day. He ended up with a small army. That was the battle in which Yonatan had begun. He and his Na'ar had begun the battle on their own. The way the Navi describes it, in the entire army, there were two swords. Right? One for Shaul and one for Yonatan. Everybody else had a sword. Whatever that means, but the imbalance in power was clearly in favor of the Plishtim, and yet we were able to maintain some kind of victory. How did that battle end? Do you remember?
I think we won, and then there was a whole thing about the booty and waiting to eat and fasting and all that.
Correct. But what was the end result of that battle? The end result of that battle ended in a kind of a stalemate. They went home. It ended in a kind of a stalemate. There were times where we were victorious within that context. It was a long, drawn-out battle. There were other times when the end result was that it kind of ended in a stalemate. There wasn't a clear and decisive victory in that story, but at least there wasn't a defeat. And then we come to the third battle with the Plishtim, which is here, and we only started. We just looked at the introductory statement of Goliath, where he makes this threat and he says, "Okay, come out to meet me, and we'll kind of meet in the middle." But the end result, after David, we know the story, and everybody knows the story.
We know the story.
Okay, so after the end, where David kills Goliath, that's not the end of the battle. That's just the beginning of the battle. If you take
you mean he lied?
Who lied?
Goliath, they said, if you kill me, then...
Well, let's see. So let's see. Take a look in chapter 17, towards the end of... let's start from Pasuk Nun Aleph. Go back to Pasuk Nun 50. Ve'yechazak David min haplishtim bakela uva'even. Right, this is how David takes down the Philistine. He put his hand into his pocket. He took out a stone. Ve'yachat haplishtim imiteu, slingshot, threw a stone and hit him in the forehead and killed him. Vechedev em biyad David, without even a sword in his hands. Vayarot David veyamod al plishti. David then ran, stood over the plishti. Veikachet charbo, took a sword. Vayishlafa mitara, pulled Goliath's sword out of its sheath. Vayumotateyu veichot batvasho, he killed him, cut off his head. Vayu plishtim ki met giboram, when the plishtim saw that their hero had died, what was the condition? No, but what was the condition that Goliath said?
It was supposed to be, we'll surrender.
They ran. They chased the Plishtim all the way down to the gates of Ekron. And the Plishtim fell there on the road from Sha'arayim ve'ad Gat ve'ad Ekron, from Sha'arayim to Gat and Ekron. Gat is here, Ekron is here, Azekah is here, and they're pushing them back into the land of the Plishtim. I'll show you all of this on a map in a moment. And then, Israel came back from chasing the Plishtim army. The rest of it will leave for another time. So, this battle ends with a decisive victory. Clearly, clear victory. So it's a fascinating progression. Each of these battles are three major battles that are taking place with the Plishtim at this until the story of David, and each one changes the progression from the victory of the Plishtim to the victory of to the stalemate in the Battle of Michmas to the victory of Israel in the battle against Goliath. So it's, if you trace battles, if you're looking at it from a strategic point of view and you're tracing the conflicts, there's a fascinating progression that's taking place within the context of each of these significant moments.
But the people didn't follow what they were supposed to do, the agreement that Goliath had made with David.
Never trust the Plishtim. That would be a terrible mistake, to trust the Plishtim. Take Goliath at his word?
No, I'm just saying.
Okay.
No, but not really, because they didn't, and that was only supposed to be.
I don't think he anticipated that he would lose.
Right?
I mean, here comes Goliath 10 feet tall, the Plishtim, the Jews. Say what you want about the Israelites, but they're not 10 feet tall.
Right.
And what was he expecting? We're gonna analyze the battle at length. And the strategy, and what was the expectation, and why David Melech thought that he could actually do it. We're going to deal with all. We're going to spend some time on David and Goliath. It's a fascinating, fascinating story. It's complex. It's got all kinds of issues. David and Yosef. It's got the question of chronology. This is the turning point in Sefer Shmuel, and we're gonna spend some time here. But I wanna get into it slowly, because I want us to see the various pieces of the story. A word about this middleman battle, this Krav Beinayim, this war by representative. It's a very strange concept. Right? Here are the two armies in a standoff, which by in itself is interesting, because you have an army on one mountain, an army on the other mountain. The description here is of two forces that have equal power, which is hard to describe against the Plishtim, right? But there's certainly an army standoff. Machane here, one mountain, the other machane, the other mountain. You have to assume that from the overconfidence and the defeat in Perek Dalet, when the Mishkan fell and the Plishtim reached all the way to Shiloh, subsequently that arrogance has kind of been diminished, because they were defeated by Shmuel and Perek Hay in the counteroffensive of Ebenezer. And then in Michmas, they were defeated because of a surprise attack of Yonatan and his Na'ar. And there they were also in the heartland of the country. And now, a few years later, you have the army of the Plishtim against the army of Israel. Now there's a king of Israel, and now there's an army. But they're in a standoff. Which means that at the very least, you know that there's some trepidation or some concern as to whether or not these two armies, if they faced off each other and they actually attacked, who would be victorious is unclear to each side. And so the Plishtim are on one mountain, waiting for somebody to fire the first shot. Ish Yudah, the Israelite army, is on the other mountain, waiting for somebody to fire the first shot, and there's a standoff.
So that's already a big change.
Correct. That's
because
my point.
Because then it started Shimshon. We've been fighting the Plishtim for control all these
years. In the days of Plishtim, the Plishtim were in control. We were the
under. That's what I mean.
Right. But the shift takes place in the aftermath of Shmuel's battle against the Plishtim in Perek Hay. Right? We reasserted Jewish independence. So we are clearly the independence here. The Malchut Yisrael is clear. And with the end of Malchut Shaul, right? Shaul fought major wars. Right? More or less, this is what the kingdom of Shaul looks like. Get the green for a moment. The orange, certainly, more or less, is what the kingdom of Shaul looks like. So, over the course of Shaul's tenure as king, we went from this to this. Right? That's all those battles in the end of Perek Yudalid, after in the aftermath of the battle with Michmas, the list of battles that Shaul fought against all the enemies, Ammon, Moab, etc., all the way around to expand the kingdom. Shaul was a very powerful king in his day. Right? So we shouldn't lose sight of the perspective here. And so, where are we now? We're right here. Here's Ekron, here's Ayalon, here's Beit Shemesh, here's Gat. This battle is taking place right here on the border between the corner, literally the northeast corner of Eretz Plishtim and the Israelite kingdom of Malchut Shaul. They're nowhere near Beit El, and they're certainly nowhere near Shiloh. So one more word about this. Actually, I'll leave this up here. One more word about this middleman battle, and then we're going to do a little bit of show and tell. Come on. Come back. There we go. Okay. So this middleman battle is also a very strange concept. Where does it come from? Where does this idea that two armies in a standoff, each one creates sends in a representative, and they'll battle it out, and the end result will be the decisor in the overall picture of the battle. It's actually, as surprising as it may sound, it's actually not such a foreign concept to warfare of that time. It's a little anachronistic. Romans had such a concept, gladiator kind of battles. But if you go back prior into the biblical arena, it's not so common, but nonetheless, it's not unheard of. And I'll give you a very powerful example of where it actually played a role within our own sphere, our own world. We're going to jump ahead for a moment to Shmuel Bet Perek Bet. It's a parak which has confused a lot of Mefarshim. And Shmuel Bet Perek Bet. So jumping forward in time to the end of beginning of Shmuel Bet is David is king. It's the aftermath of Shaul's death. And Shaul dies in the battle on Har Gilboa. David then emerges as the king, except for a short period of time subsequently, when there's a series of rebellions left over by the aftermath of Shaul's demise. Shaul's children, in this particular case, Perek Bet, is the story of Ishbosheth and Ben Shaul. So Ishbosheth Ben Shaul tries to mount a revolt against David, because he believes he's the heir to the throne and he's the son of Shaul HaMelech. And if you take a look at Perek, there was a number of civil wars. There were many battles in the context of ultimately until David's kingdom was solidified into one. But if you take a look at let's start from Pasuk Chet. Ve'avner ben ner sar tzeva asher l'sha'ul Ve'avner ben ner sar tzeva asher l'sha'ul lakach et ishboshet ben sha'ul v'yavireu machanai. Avner ben ner took Ishbosheth, son of Shaul, took him over to a place called Machanaim. Anybody remember where Machanaim is? It's in this week's parasha, actually. Listen to the Kriya this week very carefully. Machanaim is mentioned at the very end. As Yaakov returns from the house of Lavan after the battle with the angel, after his meeting with Esav. Esav goes his way, Yaakov continues into the land of Israel. As he's reaching, before he crosses over, before he meets with Esav, Parsha Vayetze this week, end of Vayetze, as his Yaakov is returning from the house of Lavan, after he meets with Lavan, and after he sends Lavan on his way, and makes a pact with Lavan, right, in the area of the Gilad, He's still on the east side of the Yarden. Remember the story, the end of Parsha Vayetze? Then, beginning of the next week's Parsha, he's going to send messengers to Esav. But this is still before he meets Esav. He's on the other side of the Yarden. He had just reached the agreement with Lavan and Gilad. There it says, that he, on his way back, he again meets angels, which he saw on his way out. And he wakes up and he says, and he names the place the double camp, camp of Israel, camp of angels. Right. Where does... In the next episode, is he sends messengers and then he has the famous fight with the angel. Where is he when he fights the Ish, the Sarah Shal Esav? No.
Because, you know, we do have Twilight Zone happening.
Yeah, no. Where is he when he meets the... No, where he's at Ma'avar Yabok. He's crossing over the Yabok River. Remember, he crosses over the Nachal Yabok. He's on the one side, everybody else is on the other side. Okay, so essentially, if you look at this, this is the Yabok River. This is Yaakov coming back from the house of Lavan. This is the Yabok River. And on the edge of the Yabok River is a city called Machanaim. That's where Yaakov names the place Machanaim, where he saw the vision of the angels. That's where Avner takes Ishbosheth to establish an alternative kingdom, to crown Ishbosheth ben Shaul as what he believes is the legitimate heir to the throne against David, who is in Hebron.
Is that Binyamin?
It's Gilad, it's Menashe. Pasuk Tet, Vayamlicheu el Gilad. So he puts the crown on his head. He says he's the king. El Hagilad ve'el Ashuri ve'el Yisrael ve'el Ephraim ve'el Binyamin ve'el Yisrael kulo. Over Gilad and Ephraim and Asher and Naphtali and over Yisrael kulo. That's not one statement. That's time. In other words, he crowns him in Machanaim. And then begins to spread the influence of this rebellion to kind of win over Menashe and Ephraim and Asher and Naphtali and the tribes of Israel that were loyal to Shaul. This is still the aftermath of the civil war between the forces of Shaul and the forces of David.
So is that a military coup then? Or that was just a continuation?
It's an attempt. Anyway, let's see the battle. Ben Arbaim Shana Ishbosheth ben Shaul b'Malcho Yisrael, u'shtei shanim malach. He was 40 years old, and he reigned for 2 years. In other words, this was a 2-year effort to regain the kingdom and pull it away from David. Ach, Beit Yehuda, you achare David. But the house of Yehuda was loyal to David. So everything from Binyamin north is loyal to Avner and to the king, Ishbosheth Malach ben Shaul. And Yehuda south is loyal to David. Vayim ispara yamim asher hayah David b'melech Hebron al Beit Yehuda sheva shanim v'shisha chodeshim. David is in Hebron for 7 years. Ishboshet is reigning in the north. Vayetze Avner ben Ner v'yavdei Ishboshet ben Shaul mimachanayim Givona. Avner ben Ner, who is the army general, together with the forces of Ishboshet, come to go from Machanayim to Givon. Gibeon is near Yerushalayim. V'Yoav ben Tsruya, he's the general for David. V'Avdei David Yatzu. So now I have a standoff between the army of Avner and the army of David, led by Yoav ben Tsruya. V'Yifkeshum al Brechat Gibeon Yachda. And these two armies meet in a place called Brechat Gibeon. V'Yeshu Ela al Brecha Mizeh. This army on one side of the pool, this army on the other side of the pool, and there's a standoff. Sound familiar? Standoff between two armies. Vayomer Avner el Yoav. Avner came up with a suggestion. Says to Yoav, Yakumuna hane'arim v'yisachaku lefaneinu. Now, if I translate this literally, it reads, let the children play before us. And that phrase has been a mystery to the Mefarshim. What is he talking about? Vayomer Yoav, yakumu, so be it. Vayakumu vayavru b'mispar shneimasar leBinyamin u'ishboshet ben Shaul u'shneimasar miyavdei David. So from Binyamin they chose 12 children, and from Ishboshet they chose 12, and they got together. Vayachaziku ish b'rosh ve'eyu, and they grabbed each other by the throat. V'charbo b'tzad re'eyu, one sword against the other. Vayplyachdav, and they all fell. Vaykra l'makom ahu chalkat hatzurim asher b'givon. V'atehi emelchama kasha ad ma'od b'yom ahu. There was a terrible battle that day. V'yinagef avner v'nshei Yisrael lifnei avdei David, and in the end, Avner and his forces fell to the forces of David. What is the story of these Na'arim? Yakumu Na'arim v'yisachaku. The children play. They're going to go out play games with what? With swords and kill each other? And Mephoshim struggle with this story. It's a remarkable story. Unless you suggest, and here is, I heard this from Rav Meidan, I think it's a very powerful suggestion, that what you've got here is another example of the tactic that Goliath employs in our story. Vayakumu anarim yisachaku is not about children playing, it's about warriors fighting. We have a two-army standoff, we can have a bloodbath, or you choose your best and we'll choose our best, and let your best and our best fight it out. And let the best side win, and whichever side wins, the other side will surrender, and that'll be the end of the battle. In that particular instance, however, it backfired. Why?
Because
they all died. The 12 from Binyamin and the 12 from Yehuda, and they killed each other. And because there was a takeo, because there was a stalemate, there was no clear decisive victor in that moment. The next sentence was, there was a terrible war.
They kept fighting?
Because they had to fight. Now that once the two champions from each side fell, then they had no choice but to fight the fight out until the very end. But the notion of, and that really was a tragedy, but the notion here of a champion, you choose your champion, we'll choose our champion, let the champions fight it out and the best side win, right, that really was not an uncommon practice of battle tactics. Goliath and the Plishtim were quite convinced that Goliath 10 feet tall was not going to be defeated by anybody, until little David came along, and the rest of the story we know.
Are there any instances of that working?
I couldn't say I'm familiar with every instance in Tanakh. I'm familiar, these two stories I know about. I don't know if there are other instances. I think in the story of Chashmonaim, in the story of Hanukkah, there's an example of that too. I don't remember offhand. Somewhere I remember reading that there's a similar type of battle of champions. It must have at some point been successful, because, at least in tactic, because otherwise it wouldn't be constantly employed. But it certainly had its moment.
But isn't that a funny word to use anyway? Because they knew that they were going to be fighting. It wasn't like...
Well, I think it's a euphemistic phrase. I think it's a euphemistic. I don't think it means playing. I mean, it means fighting, right? Okay, let the champions from both sides, you choose your best, we'll choose our best, strongest, youngest, etc., and let them battle it out. I think that's exactly what it means. Yeah?
Is it supported? Like, it makes sense, doesn't it?
It makes sense. Does it? I mean, from a tactical point of view, it makes sense.
Right. So, is it something that's supported?
I don't know.
Curious.
All right, which brings us to...
Why should you destroy your whole army instead?
Which brings us to our show and tell today. All right, welcome to our show and tell. What I wanted to do today is twofold. Number one, to introduce us a little bit to the story of David and Goliath. And number two, and at least the battlefield area in the land of Israel. And number two, I've been waiting for a really good opportunity to introduce you to this. So that's why we're here and not over there.
What's this?
Oh, this is what I'm about to show you. So this is a brand new tool for Tanakh study which is fascinating. I think it's fascinating. You may not, but that's okay. This is a website created by Mechlelet Herzog, which is the Herzog Teachers College of Yeshivat Haaretzion. And what they've done is they spent about 5 years building it. They've taken Tanakh, created a cross-reference of themes and ideas and keywords throughout Tanakh. So what you have at the top here essentially is parak by parak in Tanakh, you have sort of key ideas, the birth of Shmuel, Chana's prayer. There's actually an English interface to this. Let me see if I can get the English interface of it. It's the only downside is, and I've told them this, I have complained about this, is that it's slow. Okay, so here you see a little bit, I don't know if you can see how clear it is, but you can see the birth of Shmuel, Chana's prayer, Eli's sons and Shmuel's service, impending downfall of the house of Eli, chapters 15 to 27, Shaul's demise and David's rise, this is Shaul's chapters, Eli and Shmuel, Shaul's reign. You see, you can do this pretty much with any chapter in Tanakh. The text is still in Hebrew. The interface is available, of course, in English. And then you have, associated with each of these chapters, they've been pouring all of the resources of the Mechlelet Herzog Teachers College, articles, shiurim, the Tanakh conference I go to every year, and all the audio shiurim that they've been recording for the last 30 years. They're pouring it all into this, all now available, linked. It's really quite quite extensive and quite it's heavy because there's a lot of stuff here, and so it's not necessarily as here's articles. Souls Two Deaths of Philistines and Amalekites by Dr. Yael Ziegler. These are articles and or audio shiurim. They have some in English and some in Hebrew, right, because Dr. Yael Ziegler teaches them in English. Shimshon, David, and Boaz, Passion and Restraint. You could click on it and you would get a audio, visual, shiur recorded from Dr. Yael Ziegler online. And you can go to any chapter in Tanakh and you'll have articles, audio, shiurim, topics, events, personalities. You can
show. Where do you go to get this online? Herzog?
No. Much simpler than that. Hatanach.com. Hatanach.com. But Tanach is spelled K-H. H-A-T-A-N-A-K-H. Which is the academic spelling for Tanach. Now, here's, to my opinion, the most powerful of all of this. And that is that their advertising to this calls this website the Google of Tanach. So you'll say to me, how do they get away with that?
Because of the patent, you mean, of Google?
Right. And the answer is because they're in partnership with Google. And if you look down here where it says maps, you see where it says maps? Okay. What you're looking at is an interactive map of all of the land of Israel, and all of the places mentioned in various places in Tanakh, but the engine that's driving this map is Google Maps. And so, welcome to Google Maps. So now you wanted to know where this battle took place, right? All right, so let's talk about where this battle took place. Here is an aerial map. Let's zoom out a little bit. Okay, you can see the map, right?
Looks topographical, too.
It's got all... Okay, so here's your... Wow. This is all Google Maps. Yes. But Google Maps, what they've done is they've taken the identification of all the places in Tanakh that the Herzog College has presented, and they've now superimposed it into a Google Maps engine with all of the power of Google Maps. So I'll show you what that means. We're going to take a virtual tour, the Battle of David and Goliath. Okay. We are going to walk through the valley of the Battle of David and Goliath. So here is Yerushalayim. Bet Lechem. Want to see where I am? Here, you want to see a better map? Let's do it this way. Okay? Here's your modern map of Israel. Here's Yerushalayim. Here's Bet Lechem. And down here, I'm going to zoom in a little bit. Everybody see where I am over here? Can you see my little mouse moving? We're going to zoom in a second. But you can see this road is Netiva Lamed Hay. This road, we're right near Beit Shemesh, actually. Beit Shemesh is up here. Okay, south of Beit Shemesh. Okay, here's Eretz Gat, Eretz Plishtim, over here. That was the one I showed you on the other map.
Is that close to Kiryat Gat now or no?
I don't know. I have to look where Kiryat Gat. Here's Ekron.
I bet it's close.
Here's Marat and Adifim, if anybody's been there, Stalagmite Cave. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to zoom in a little bit. And here we come to the area of our story. Socho and Azeka. Right? Those are the two locations of the standoff between the camps of Israel and the camp of the Plishtim. Socho, here in the Shvela, Eretz Yehuda, and Azeka, here, as the Plishtim are coming down to Azeka, and Bnei Yehuda are coming up to Socho, and in between you have what is known as the Valley of Elah, Emeka Elah, and you have the standoff to the battle. Now we're going to zoom in on the satellite for a moment, satellite vision. Here you have Ramat Beit Shemesh Gimel, where my daughter and son-in-law are living, right here. Somewhere in there is their apartment, I'm not sure where. And Netivet Lamed Hey, these are all modern places. Kibat Yishayahu, Beit Jamal.
So Beit Shemesh is the same Beit Shemesh.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Beit Shemesh is the same Beit Shemesh, more or less, meaning you have to go back to Tel Beit Shemesh to get to the old city of original place of Beit Shemesh, but yes, same general area. And now we come to these places here, Socho and Azeka. I want to start with Socho. The more interesting place is Azeka, but we'll see that in a moment. Now, you all familiar with this little guy, this little Google man? This little guy in the corner down here? Can you see it?
Can you see it?
This little yellow guy who's dancing down here? See him dancing? Okay. That's the Google man. In a Google map, you can take... Sorry.
Google man.
You can take Google man and you can put him in any location that's been visually scanned. And you can see as if you're standing in the street. You can do that in any map, okay? Go to Google Maps. Go to 8101 Delmar Boulevard, University City. And take Google Map guy and put him on the shul. And suddenly you are looking at... this is Google Maps. This is Google Maps. This has nothing to do with me or Tanakh. This is Google Maps. And you can get a 360-degree... If you ever watch carefully, you'll see every once in a while, you'll see somebody standing on the street corner taking pictures of, like, 360-degree pictures. They're working for Google. There are people all over the world. They get paid to take pictures of the area and put them into Google Maps. Google, they want to create a 3D image of the whole world. Yeah, this is the show. There's your show. You can zoom in, and you can kind of just do a virtual tour of the neighborhood of. You can go drive down Delmar and see how far you get to. I'm driving on the wrong side of the street now. And you can go anywhere you like. Okay, that is Google Maps. Okay, Street View. Let's go back to Israel. So we're now looking at Socho. So now, if I take my Google man and I start to drag him, any one of these blue dots in the modern map of Israel is a place that has been photographed for Google. So I can put my blue dot guy over Socho. And now I'm looking at Socho, which is also referred to as Tel HaTarmusim, which is the it's a valley of these beautiful light
purple
flowers that are called, I forgot what they're called in English, called tamusim.
No,
but
these aren't current.
This is modern current pictures. This is like
and
within
the picture, like a few months ago.
Yeah, within the last couple of years. We'll see we'll see people in these pictures in a moment. Okay?
But that's the photographer.
Yeah, they got a
Caridian. Yeah, there's your photographer shadow.
That's how you can tell it's 12 o'clock noon that he took the picture.
Well, there's noon. You're now facing north.
Exactly.
Okay? You're now facing north. Now, if you remember our map, Soho is from Socha to Azeka, you're facing, remember the map? Direction? You need to be facing northwest, right? You have the map, correct? So let's turn our attention a little bit west. And what do you see? No, I don't mean necessarily what you see in terms of what place this is, but what are you looking at? You're looking at a valley. You're sitting at the edge. This picture was taken at the edge of the hill, because if you look around here, you can see all the hills behind you. There's people. Yeah, you wanted people? There's people. Okay. There's people. I don't think you'd recognize them. But, yeah, I don't think you're going to... Well, there's Goyaft. You can see him standing there right there. You're looking at this enormous valley. That's Emeka. This is us. I was joking. Right, you're looking at an enormous valley called Emek Ha'ela. Okay, that's David. Right, Emek Ha'ela before you. So now, let's go back. Okay, here's Socho. That's where we just were. No. What else is down here? These are just different places. Okay. But now we're going to go to Azeka. And that's where life really gets interesting. Okay? Here's Azeka. So now we're on a visual tour of Tel Azeka. Tel Azeka is actually an archaeological dig and a place you can go to today. It's actually part of the whole Israel National Trail. Tel Goded to Tel Azeka. And you can go walk the trail. You want to walk the trail with me? Let's go walk the trail. Let's see what we can get to at the top of the hill. Let's see who's going to meet us at the top of the hill. We're just going to walk up the trail. We're going to do a little faster than... We're going to do a little bit faster than the people who are on that trail, because we're going to pass them. We're going to say hello and pass them. And we're just going to keep walking. Because this is Google. And this has nothing to do... I mean, you can go to places between the combination of Google Maps and the Tanakh interface. You can go to all kinds of interesting places. You can go visit Nebuchadnezzar's palace, and you can go to all kinds of interesting places. Now, I think we need to go up those steps. I think I overshot them. Let's go back. I'm not sure where I'm going. I need to be going up. Let's keep going up. Come on. Come on. Let's go. There we go. There we go. There we go. We need to follow these people up to the top of Tel Azeka. And then you really see these people have all been there. Say goodbye. Say hello to them. Oh, now, as we get to the top of Tel Azeka, look what we see.
More people.
This is a very big tourist spot. We're going to zoom in into those people in a moment. But now, just look around you. Okay? You are looking at the other side of Emek Ha'ela, where we just were. So now you're on the other side. You can imagine, if you were the Plishtim, you were standing on Azeka, you were looking down into this valley. You see the valley? That's this big valley, and your army is here. And the other side is the army of
Israel.
By all those blue flowers. And in the middle, the two is this big open space where this bloodbath is about to take place. Until out comes marching Goliath and says, "Let's do this champion to champion." And there you have a group sitting and hearing the story of the David and Goliath being told by a tour guide. Now, I'm really curious what they're sitting on. Aren't you curious what they're sitting on? So we're going to zoom in. They are stones. We're going to zoom in, and we're going to look at the stones that they're sitting on, and let's see if we can read them. Vayimaher, David.
Vayaro tamaracha mikvata klishti. Vayachazek David min klishti bekelu be'evin vayachat klishti vayimiteu v'cher em biyad David.
I'm getting chills.
I don't think those stones were there originally.
No, you don't think so? You think somebody put them there?
Vayishlach David et yado el hakeli vayikach misham
even vayikla vayachas et mishti et ol mitzcho vachitba even b'mitzcho. They took in this tatzpit, in this lookout from the top of Tel Azekah, they built a beautiful lookout where you can see all of Emek Ha'elah. And that's where tour guides come, and they bring these groups. They sit them down on these benches. They're all sitting on these benches carved with the psukim and the story of David and Goliath. And you've got trees there, right? So they're the shade for the people who are sitting there. And you get to look out at all of Emek Ha'elah and see the story of David. And just imagine in your mind's eye, here down below in the valley of Emek Ha'elah, is this confrontation between Goliath and David, and then you have a virtual tour of Perek Yud Zayin of Sefer Shmuel, all because we started here. Okay, theoretically you can do the same thing on this little version of it, but it's much more impressive when you go to here. And you can then you really get a sense of where things are. Zoom back out and where you are in the country. Right, there's a modern map of Israel. Your question was about
Kiryat
Gat is here's Tel Aviv, so
right.
Tel Aviv is over here.
Aviv,
yeah, it's much. This Gat is much further south.
Really?
I don't know where Kiryat Gat is, but you can see various places on the map. Take a look at this. You can go explore here at Tanakh.com. So I thought I've been waiting for an opportunity to kind of share this with you. It's a fascinating window. You could spend, you could spend a lot of time here. You could kind of, you go all the way out. This is your whole Middle East. And you can really get a sense of who's what and where. I'm curious. I'm curious. I am curious. One thing here. Hang on a second. Anybody knows where I am right now? I am in Iraq right now. Yeah, I'm in Iraq. I'm looking
right there,
for.
Sunny. Okay,
yeah.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. They put it in English too.
Yeah, or Kazdim is here's the two rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates. Actually, if I zoom out, you should be able to see them. See them that well.
That's because one of them
is dry. What I'm looking for is Nebuchadnezzar's palace.
That's still there, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
It's actually one of those sites that's been our little Google man can take us to. I just gotta find it. Whoops. Well, I'm not sure I am now. All right. Well, you can have fun with this. You can have lots of fun with this. Oh, so the, no, Gush is the Yeshiva Haratzion has been developing this for years, and they're teaching us about it and various practical applications of it. So it's something which I've known about for a long time. I just haven't really, we haven't had the opportunity to kind of explore it at that much. So I thought now would be.
You said it was expensive.
What's expensive?
Extensive.
Oh, extensive. Extensive. Oh, not expensive. Extensive. Actually, the way to find the Nebuchadnezzar's palace is this way.
Go
to. Let's go to Daniel. Since you've got the internet connection, you can do anything you want in here.
We don't even have a strong one down here, do we?
Come on. Here we go. Babylon, Shinar. Okay.
Is that where his palace was, Shinar?
Probably. Let's see. Not sure where we're looking for, but anyway, you want to go look through. We'll leave it for now. I had it bookmarked somewhere, and I don't remember where. But the, you really can go visiting all kinds of interesting places in the world, places that you would not want to go to as a tourist right now. I don't think it's particularly smart. Eretz Shinar is the beginning of the forefathers, right? So it's listed there. It tells you what's there. Babylonian monarchy, Shivat Zion, tells you what parts of Tanakh these places are mentioned in.
So that language came from Gush and not from Google, right?
Yeah, no, this is the Gush
version of
the Gush
Google.
Right. It's an interface over, they've sort of entered into the Google Maps system all of these biblical places that I think it's there is a way to search, I just don't know how to do it.
Why did you go to Daniel?
I was looking for Nebuchadnezzar's palace. I saw it once in one of my explorations and I was fascinated by the fact that you can walk through and do a virtual Google map, Google man, in the inside of Nebuchadnezzar's palace.
Inside?
But yeah, it's really, it's fascinating.
So you can't just put that
in
at the
top. I don't know if it's going to search the map. Nor do I know how to spell it. All right.
Next time.
But in the meantime, you have the.
Babylon Palace. You have to spell Babylon.
I don't think it's going to do it. I don't think it's going to search the map. I have to be over here, and I don't know how to do a search in here. But David and Goliath, we have. So what we're going to do from here? Let me, pardon the pun. Let me map out for you where I want to go with the story of David and Goliath. We haven't looked at the battle. We haven't looked at David and the story of David's arrival, etc. Today was really just an introduction into the framework of this battle, and more importantly, the physical location of where these things were, and the virtual tour of Socho and Tel Azeka. The story itself divides into several pieces. David's arrival and all of the introductory conversations between David and his brothers, and how he gets there and why he's there, and kind of the innocence of his arrival on the scene, because his father sends him on a mission to bring food to his brothers. Then the story of the conflict, the battle between David and Goliath, which is a conversation, series of conversations between David and Shaul, David and Goliath, and the aftermath of the battle. So we're going to talk, spend a couple of classes looking at that, those conversations. And then David and Shaul get together. And that's where we're going to address some of the more, some of the broader, more difficult questions related to the chronology of events and the seeming inconsistencies between this chapter and some of the other chapters in the story of David. So it's going to take us a couple of good couple of classes to get through all the various pieces, but I want to try to do it systematically. It's a big chapter with a lot of moving parts. And we'll adjourn here.
Thank you. Yeah, that was fun. Okay, we're every time I turned around, for example, I didn't know that there were two goals in his kids in Israel. I saw that.